to an episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I'm going to kill my chest in this show tonight, but I do not care. I am the very sick Triforce Todd, your eternal host in sickness and in health. You're welcome. And joining me today is Wario Will.
And welcome into the middle of March, everybody. Yes, we're smacked up in the middle right now, and thankfully the weather is cooperating. It has been a beautiful day in the East Coast at the moment right now. Yes.
It was 70 here in the Midwest. It's been actually nice. I actually just changed my winter bedding to my spring bedding because I've been overheating due to my sickness. I really am sick, ladies and gentlemen, but I can do this. I can do this.
I mean, basically, was it Concord or
something
else?
I think it was, because I was fine going into Friday, even with my eternal lack of sleep. I just couldn't sleep like usual. But I definitely think I just got Concord. It happens.
Oof.
But hey, at least I wasn't sick during the con. That would totally kill my mojo. So, and of course, also here, not killing my mojo, is Skullkit Scott.
Hello.
Don't, trust me, Scott, I will let you know if you were killing my mojo.
Good to know.
I go Cusco on you. Dude, you're throwing off my groove. I'm sorry, you're throwing off the Todd's groove. Sorry.
Don't throw me four stories.
Don't throw me out the temple, bro. Hey, remember how he survived? He like got caught on a tree.
Like the trampolines.
Yeah, it's like there's no way that should have worked, but it did. But hey, you can't kill someone like that in a Disney movie. And yet you can hang Kerchak from vines. You have to show him via silhouette shadows.
You can only kill through silhouette.
Yes. And it shows in the process of doing it, but doesn't actually show it.
Yeah. Never forget when Disney actually like tried, they had balls. Like think about like what they showed sometimes and how dark some of their stuff was. Like Tarzan, which was 2000s. That's Phil Collins, ladies and gentlemen, singing the soundtrack. Look him up. Like, that was one of the darkest... I kid you not. I know this is not Nintendo, but I don't care. Like, that scene with Kerchak scarred me so much. I replicated that scene in one of my comics. No joke. I had a guy get electrocuted, and instead of showing the body, I showed the silhouette. And it was actually in my Disney Pixar style book. So, you know, synergy. You're welcome, Disney. I stole from you, kind of. Moving on, before I get copyright struck, we have a lighter show for you tonight, admittedly. But it's going to be really fun. So let's get started off with, what have you been playing? I'll go first, because I honestly haven't been playing that much due to work and such. Last week, I was so overloaded with work because I was trying to get ready for Planet City Comic-Con. I don't really call it Planet City. It's Planet Comic-Con Kansas City. I can never get that straight for whatever reason. But I spent Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Kansas City, Missouri, and I had my best show ever. Great stuff. Thank you to everyone who came out to see me, including NEP fans. Don't I wish. That would have been cool. I won't lie, but it didn't happen. But it was a great show. And lots of Nintendo cosplayers. I saw lots of Mario's, Luigi's, Peach's. I saw some Pikmin. Pikmin. No Olimar.
Nice.
Sadly, step it up, people. You don't have Pikmin without Olimar. Step it up. I saw a really good Ike, but I couldn't get his picture, sadly, which I know, you know, crushed me. Because Ike's my guy. You know, he's the one I stan, all right? So, yeah. But there was some really great cosplayers there. It was a really great weekend overall. Outside of me getting con crud. Like, that's... I woke up Monday morning, and I'm like, oh, this feels bad. Why do I feel so bad? I mean, that doesn't make sense. So, oh well. But it was a great time all around. And then when I was able to relax, aside from resting from my sickness, I was playing Apollo Justice. I'm getting really close to the end of the Spirit of Justice. And we're right about to hit, like, the most tragic thing in the history of the series with a certain death. And I'm like, oh, here it comes. We're getting closer. It's about to hit. You can feel that. I see the hammer getting dropped. I'm not going to spoil it just for those who haven't seen it. Oh, that was something I saw. I saw multiple Ace Attorney characters. I saw a really great Edgeworth. I saw a Pearl Fae and a Phoenix.
Good.
I know, right? And then they were not together. They were individual entities. And I'm like, wow, Edgeworth, hey, Pearl, and like, oh, Phoenix, did you? And like, they were like, we didn't see each other. I'm like, oh man, like, that would be a great photo opportunity. So love seeing the Ace Attorney. Love. I remember years ago I saw an Emma Sky, and that made my heart stop because I adore Emma. Emma's the best. It was a really fun time, and Apologistics continues to be great. This case in particular is really, really fun. I will talk about what I've been watching. Yeah. Because I thought that Pokemon Horizons came out like a week or so ago. I thought it came out on Pokemon Day. I really did. I think that was the original intention, but then they delayed it. I forgot. But it came out, and I'm like, okay, I have nothing to watch on Monday night for a little bit. Or was it Tuesday night? Yeah, after Monday night. Doesn't matter. And so I was like, okay, I can watch the first few episodes of Pokemon Horizons. So I watched the two-part opener, or maybe it's three parts, who knows anymore. But I watched the first two episodes, and at the end of the second episode, my literal thoughts were, what the heck am I watching? Like, seriously. Like, and trust me, I was hyped for this. You know, like, I have heard so much about this from online and all that, like, this is happening, the visuals are beautiful, and blah, blah, blah. I have no idea who wrote these first two episodes, but what happened? Like, here's I won't spoil too much, but here's the main gist. You two both know the concept of show, don't tell, right?
Right, yes. Right.
Right. You don't say everything. You say enough, and then you show more, right?
Yes, sure.
So when you think of, like, the pilot episode with Ash, right, with him interacting with Pikachu, and you know how he's, you know, kind of scatterbrained and he's a bit forceful at times, and Pikachu is kind of, you know, a jerk at first. All right, they don't have Ash saying all the time, oh my gosh, Pikachu, you're a jerk, and then Pikachu not do anything. All right, Pikachu and Ash do not have the best relationship. Ash is dragging Pikachu around because Pikachu doesn't want to go in the Pokeball. Pikachu makes fun of Ash for not being able to catch Pokemon, and so on and so forth, and then they bond after the Spearow attack. In this series, in the first two episodes, the thing they keep harping on is that Liko doesn't know anything. And that's it. Seriously. They have her say, more than any other line, I don't know. What's going on here? I don't know. What's going on here? I don't know. Why am I like this? I don't know. Why is Picatito like this? I don't know. Why is this happening? I don't know. Why are these characters doing? I don't know. Who is this man? I don't know. And it just keeps going for two episodes like this.
You're trying to make that a catchphrase?
I don't know. No!
It's spreading. It's spreading.
No, I don't know. Stop it. And it gets worse because she doesn't act. I mean, they're trying to make her like the opposite of Ash in certain ways, like making her the awkward kid, but they're telling us she's the awkward kid, not showing us. For example, in the first scene, we see Liko going to a bus stop because she's going to go to this Pokemon Academy. Totally fine. That's a fine explanation. She gets waved to by a girl, only to find out that there was another girl behind her that she was actually waving to. And then she goes, oh, I would talk with them right now, but I never know what to say, and thus no one is my friend. Like, what? Why would you say it like that? And then she goes, I don't know why I'm this way, but I just am. And I'm like, okay. And then it just keeps building from there. She has no personality. It's bad. I'm legit. And then once the various other groups come into play who are chasing her, it's just they don't explain anything. They don't even try. Like the good guys team, whose name I can't even remember right now, it's the Volt Tacklers. It's like it's with Captain Pikachu. You know, they enter the scene, no explanation, no reason, no explanation of how they know who Liko is. And they're like, oh, we're here to save you or something like that. Then the bad guys, who are called the Explorers, not the best bad guy name ever, really, but doesn't strike fear into the hearts of man or Liko. They come in. They're after Liko. How'd they know about her? We don't know. We don't know. Totally different phrase. then Liko is just like literally rolling with it, and in a way that's just so unbelievable. She's literally lost her thoughts for like 5 minutes, and she goes, "Wait a minute, this weird guy is holding me in a Charizard. I don't even know who he is." And then she doesn't find out because the show keeps going and it doesn't even try and catch up to itself. And then by the end of the second episode, there's this somewhat big cliffhanger, and I felt no emotion in it. Like, something bad happened to Liko, and I felt no emotion in it because that's how much of a disconnect there is. And they just kept, like, dropping little things that are supposed to be teases for the future. And it's like, no, don't worry about the future. Focus on right now. I know nothing of what's going on here. It's aggravating my sickness.
All right. Take a moment. But yeah, it's just like, yeah, just hearing you describe it is like, yeah, like compared to like the first one, Ash is like, again, you let the world talk. You don't like, if you overexplain it too much, then yeah, it just completely loses its focus. It just completely falls apart. Like, again, Ash in the Pokemon world, and you just see, oh, what the Pokemon world is, right? And from the way you're describing, I mean, again, I got to check that myself. If,
yes.
Or say myself not to.
No, I want you to, I want you to watch it eventually, because I want to know your thoughts. Because obviously, just my opinion, and it could pick up. Again, I'm only two episodes in, but like, this was a rough opening. All right. In my opinion. And like you said, Will, the whole, and I don't like comparing it to the original anime.
Yeah.
Because A, that was 25 years ago, obviously. And B, they're clearly going for something different. But there's a difference between doing something different and doing something competent. You know? Like, I'll give you an example. Avatar The Last Airbender.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Legendary series, legendary opening. Legend of Korra, it had a great opening. Now, later seasons, not so much. But that was on them. But they kept the spirit of it while telling a different story. All right? I am the Avatar and you have to deal with it is in a forever iconic line. And that was that was for Korra's opening. And so they were able to capture that feeling again in the first episode of a different series, different time-ish, you know, a couple decades, and so on and so forth. They did not capture my imagination here. I have no connection to Liko. And some of the things that they did make no gosh dang sense, that it's infuriating. Case in point. They clearly tried to recreate the Pikachu moment where Pikachu electrocutes all the Spearow because they're in the thunderstorm or whatever. They tried to recreate that with Sprigatito via its move Leaf Edge. Up until that point, Leaf Edge does very minor, like, grassy effect stuff, all right? Then right at the end, for whatever random reason, it can create basically a blizzard of leaves. Makes no gosh dang sense. I mean, I'm talking about so much leaves that it basically covers up an entire airship. A level 5 Sprigatito is doing this. No. No.
I mean, yeah, granted, even back in the original first season, like, Pikachu can able, like, we didn't understand, like, again, the, I guess the scale of, like, Pokemon, like we do now, like, example, Pikachu can literally summon thunders and storms and all that, and, yeah, only now we understand the scale, and I guess they're trying to scale to hear with Sprigatito that actually can fill up ships, which...
Pokemon evolution.
Yeah.
I understand what you're going for here, but remember, this is a Pokemon she just got. And they even emphasized, even with the time skip, they had like a 2 week time skip between the first episode and whatever, or the first meeting of Sprigatito and Liko, and like where things start picking up is like a couple weeks time skip. Even then, even if it's like level 7 or whatever. Its first leaf attack, the only attack we see it use in the entire show, should not have gone from, oh, I can shoot a few leaves, to, oh, I can unleash a blizzard of them to envelop an entire airship. Like, no. Just no.
A bit of a reach.
And we've seen in the past with level 5 Pokemon, them doing incredible moves. I think of Snivy when Ash went up against that guy. I can't remember his name now. But he had a level 5 Snivy, and it did Leaf Storm. That was it. It was Leaf Storm, and it had a really cool-looking effect. But even then, it was tame compared to what this was. And it just made no gosh dang sense why Sprigatito was able to do this. And I can't even say power of friendship, because it was trying to save Liko previously and didn't do anywhere close to that. So I'm actually not eager to get back into Pokemon Horizons, because if it doesn't pick up, I'm going to be like, what happened?
Kind of be a little bored.
Well, it's just the reason he resonated with Ash was because we were all that kid. In one way or another, you know, we woke up late, we all have big dreams and everything, and then by the end, you're like, you couldn't help but love Ash and Pikachu, because they were willing to risk their lives to help each other. That was beautiful. Right now, I have no connection with Liko, because she just doesn't have a personality. Yeah, and Roy hasn't even shown up. They inferred that Roy is there, and he hasn't shown up yet for one reason or another.
Then is he in the room with us right now?
they specifically said there are kids, plural, on board, and Liko is the only kid on board that we've seen. And then there's these other characters they literally throw and say, hey, can you watch this or watch that? And they go, sure, and they cut the scene away. I'm like, why did we show that? What was the point of that? And, oh, there was something else I was just about to mention. I lost it. Darn. See, that's it. It's this. These episodes have bothered me so much. I mean, the animation is crisp. I'll give them that. Like, the animation is crisp, and they have the voice acting is solid. I thought that was cool. They had some really interesting Pokemon fights. They had a really good one showing off Captain Pikachu. Now, Captain Pikachu looks great. Like, Captain Pikachu acts differently than Ash's Pikachu, and so on and so forth. So there are elements there, and I could see what they were trying. Oh, that was it. I am going to basically quote word for word an actual dialogue that happened in the episode. Okay, ready? Wait a minute. Those guys were after me, and those guys followed me here because of my pendant. Am I the main character of this story?
Oh,
they did that. I know. No, like, first of all, who talks like that? Even in anime, who do you think you are, Deadpool?
you only have to be, either be Deadpool or Neptunia and Neptune to do that. But yeah, you gotta have a certain flair to actually pull off fourth wall breaking. And
yes.
Pokemon isn't really meant for fourth wall breaking, unless like you're talking about like James and Team Rocket with that whole great witty comebacks.
Yeah. The only time Ash broke the fourth wall was in the Magikarp jump episode. And that one was so stupid that they intentionally made it over the top that he broke the fourth wall. Because he actually took over the role of the announcer. Because Magikarp jumped so high that he didn't come back down until actually the next episode, when he helped save Ash a little bit later. Don't ask. But they made fun of the fact that Ash broke the fourth wall. So, but this was literally Miko going, oh my gosh, am I the main character of this story? And I'm like, yes, and I wish you worked. So yeah, I had feelings. Nothing more than feelings. I know none of you got that joke, but I'm laughing on the inside while I'm crying because of the coughing this show is making me have. Yeah, I was fine before talking about Pokemon Horizons, and now my coughing is aggravated. So thanks a lot, Pokemon.
All Pokemon Horizons' fault.
Pretty much. Now, again, I will give it its due in due time. I will finish the first 12 episodes, and we will go from there. But it's got some work to do. It's absolutely got some work to do. And I hope it picks up, because I want to continue watching Pokemon and enjoy it like I did even with the issues of the filler episodes of what Journeys did. Because Journeys was fun overall.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
And I want Pokemon's Legacy to continue. But I'm not going to meander through episodes with characters that I don't care for. Just because of loyalty. That's not how it should work. And I've dumped other shows from other franchises because the new characters or new stories did not hold me. And right now, it's not looking good. So we'll see how it goes. But feelings. Nothing more than feelings.
I do wonder, like how the like future generations of cartoons, like with Pokemon, is going to be dealing with this. Because like we come a long way. We come a long way. Yeah. I wonder. And if it's as you say, like they can do some good cartoons. Again, great Pokemon cartoons. But yeah, this one, yeah, it's unfortunately on the lower echelon at the moment right now.
At the moment. And again, it could just be we've all had shows that started off kind of rough and then got better. You know, sometimes the pilot episode isn't everything you want it to be, but it got better once it found its footing. And maybe that's what will happen here. But still, after having 25 years of a single anime, writing good episodes and really bad episodes, and the numerous spin-offs and one-offs and movies you've done, for them to stumble out of the blocks with their, you know, new prized anime, it really surprised me. And again, I went in with good expectations and here, like, okay, this is next generation. This is the horizon for something new. And I'm like, just bring back Ash, which we will talk about in a little bit, actually. But for now, Will, what have you been playing?
So for the most part, I've more or less been head deep into Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and I just reached up Cosmo Canyon, and I just finished up the Golgonga area with Zach's home jungle, and that place is beautiful. I mean, fact that I first the Gongapa jungle is just like the music top notch. I definitely enjoyed my time in the Gongapa forest, if anything else. But if there's one criticism I have to come and give at the moment right now, that one Chatley mission regarding to the mind flare, like the mind blast Chatley mission, it can go F off. I'm sorry. Like, thankfully, I've been able to pull it off due to Scott, you probably know the trick. We're going to Tifa's 300% stagger meter. That's how I did it. Thankfully, that helped out, especially with also, make sure you sleep. The sloop, magnify and sleep to sleep out those other two little annoying kamikaze ears. Yeah, the other foes is like, you got to kill the mind flayer first before dealing with the other ones. Like, what kind of mission criteria is that? I struggled so much, like a good solid like 30 minutes or 45 minutes, but thankfully I got it through. So aside from that main criticism, everything else was just great. Finished up Gongapa, headed to Cosmo Canyon, and just before the podcast, I have did the Flying Chocobo mission, which thankfully wasn't too hard, but it was challenging, especially that third one, especially like you have to pitch up and down to get a good amount of lift. That one was a little bit on the difficult side. I know like a Maximilian dude had a bit of a tough time, but thankfully he had his blessing of his family to help him out, thankfully. So I saw that clip on Twitch and on Twitter. But overall, I have entered into Cosmo Canyon, gonna be seeing how everything is. And again, last I checked, there's only 4 more chapters left. So I'm pretty much nearing to that end, hopefully. But at the rate we're going with these big maps, I mean, Cosmo Canyon, like, first time I was seeing Cosmo Canyon, like, one, it is so Western. Like, they do not hide Cosmo Canyon. Like, it's basically Grand Canyon, and the music behind the chords, like, it is so darn country. I'm sorry. Like, maybe to the point stereotypical, I don't know, but it is, like, it is so country. So, Cosmo Canyon, big, just Western dust bowls and all that. And, I just unlocked the Chocobo. So, just can't wait to see the verticalities and everywhere in between Cosmo Canyon. So, and of course, naturally, with Queen's Blood. Thankfully, Queen's Blood has been very kind to me, especially with that. I'm not sure you finished up the Golden Saucer, Scott. The Golden Saucer Queen's Blood puzzle missions.
Oh, yeah, the puzzle strategies.
There was that one at the end, like when you're like rank 5 or rank 6, like you had to get, if you want to get the best card, including that's, well, I mean, Sephiroth you can get at the basic minimum, but if you want to get the most, we had to get at least 50 points total on top of your opponent. And I actually passed that mission with 1 point to spare, so I just barely made it and actually got my Sephiroth Queen's Blood card. So nice. I'm surprised how fun it is, and even Square Enix is taking notice of it. Queen's Blood always very popular and all that. So knee deep, neck head deep into Final Fantasy Rebirth, almost like getting into the pretty much at the second half of the game right now, so I can't wait. I saw like the twist and all that, and wow, okay, so that's kind of what where they're going at right now. So there is some interesting twists, especially since that ended that Mako Reactor Chapter 9. So it's interesting to say the least. So I can't wait to see what's more in Chapter 10 and afterwards.
I want to go back to Chally for a second, because I kid you not, I've been seeing a lot of posts on my Twitter timeline. And it's basically saying, you know, Chelly's adorable, but I want to hit him with a pile of rocks.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I mean, look, I get it. He is your AI companion that's supposed to go and help you out making the materia. Which, again, I thank you for helping me, making me so very great materia, especially helping me with the summon materia, which, again, thank you very much. However, the fact that I had to go everywhere on this to get the world intel for you, yeah, it's like, geez, like, I'm doing all the hard work.
Yeah, it was, sorry, it was that line about hitting with a pile of rocks, and someone quoted going, why would you say that? He's only trying to help, but, like, is he, though?
He's trying to help himself.
Yes, basically, ever since he left the Shinra, and like, yeah, and now I'm just going to be a free man, going to research, and the world is my laboratory.
By research, I mean, hey, Cloud, you want to do some research for me?
Yeah. Oh, geez. But I mean, Chally is that like naive AI. I mean, spoilers, he is an AI created from Hojo. So he's just, yeah.
I didn't know that. Spoilers. Dean, remember, I don't have a PS5, so I can't play this game.
Yet.
Yet. Until it comes out on PC.
Yeah.
Which will be next year at this point. Yeah, that sounds fair, actually. You know, wait a year for it to sell on PS5, and then get it come out on PC in 2025. I'll wait for you, Tifa. Just like I know Karlach is waiting for me to return to Baldur's Gate. I'm getting there. I'm getting close. All right. Scott, what about you?
So main two games this week, Grand Blue Fantasy Relink, as always. I'm now at the end game with my second account now, which is nice.
Oh, so man.
I'm trying to get as much done as I can at the end game so I can start doing the new expansion that just came out today.
Yeah. It did announce it, an update in regards to it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Wait, when did the game come out?
The game came out in February.
And it's already got an expansion?
Yep. It's getting in new content every month.
Wow.
They're doing pretty fast.
I mean, as long as it's quality, then hey, props to them. But I'm like, wow, that's...
Damn. I'm getting the feeling they're kind of trying to pull a Monster Hunter and actually do that free update every single month or so. Yeah,
It did. Capcom pulled it off. So, I mean, props to them.
Yeah, so I think they are set pretty well. Because, I mean, especially with the Grand Blue Fantasy world, there's a lot that they can take from it and add into the game.
Yeah.
The next expansion, which is in April, is also going to be adding new characters you can unlock.
Oh.
Which will be exciting. And on my third account, I'm keeping crewmate cards so I can unlock them instead of the two characters I don't like.
I can see it right now. Thank you for being a great crew. Not you, member.
Yes. And then the second game is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I've reached the second part of Nibelheim now.
Okay. That part. Okay.
So I'm a little over Cosmo Canyon from you, so.
Yeah, I have been trying to keep the spoilers light outside of, like, the dating thing, because, like, that's been, like, blowing up my
Yeah,
YouTube.
The whole dating mechanic thing.
Costa del Sol. That was a very fun part.
Yes.
And then I did accidentally see one scene that I guess was at the end of the game. There wasn't any context. It was just the scene in question. And so I'm not sure where it all falls and everything, but it wasn't good what I saw, and it's like, I thought stupidly, hey, let's read the comments.
Oh no!
Oh, that is a big mistake.
Don't worry,
dude.
Don't worry. worry, I stopped like two or three comments in and didn't get anything mainly spoiled. It was mainly breaking down the cutscene and the characters involved. But it was just like, yeah, I have a feeling this preceded very unfortunate events. So, yeah. Okay. But, yeah. Yeah, I do want to play the game, but it's just I do not have a PS5, and so I will wait my turn. I will wait. So
okay, you still got Baldur's Gate.
I do.
You can play Baldur's Gate 3 until like the PC release. I mean, easily. It's hours.
Well, here's the thing. Just to give you a preview for what I will be playing likely this weekend, once I get done with Apollo Justice, which might be tonight or tomorrow, depending on how fast I go through the case, I got to go back to Persona. Because I was in January where I stopped because I had to go to Apollo to review it, remember?
Yeah.
So I got to finish Persona. Then once I'm done with that, I'll go back into Baldur's Gate. And I was nearing the end of Act 2, I think. So I still got Act 3 to go. And that should take me to May when a certain game will come out. And that'll take my time. So I have time set aside for Karlach. I just got to get there. Got to get back to my, fiery tiefling.
Yeah, and same for me as well. I just like stopped it at January and just going through that last block in Tartarus. So I need to do that. Plus, again, do those extra missions to get that platinum. So yeah, that's what I need to do as well.
Yeah, so the struggle is real.
Yes, it is.
All right. And what also was a struggle was the news for the week, because outside of a certain day that we'll talk about, the news was a little light, and yet we endured. So. It's time to go down the warp pipe. And first, we're going to talk about our Mario Day coverage, of which I am very proud to say that Will and Scott did so well in covering Mario Day. So many articles on the site. Deep, deep analysis into what we learned. Will, your opinion piece on the movie revelation was, that was Pulitzer worthy. That was Pulitzer worthy, my friend. I'm very proud of you. Can you feel the proudness in my voice, William? Can you?
Yes, the great deep sense of sarcasm is cutting deep. Yes, I know.
Yeah. I was gone in a con and these guys couldn't cover Mario Day. It's only one of the most important days of the year, and we actually had announcements. So we will cover it here, I suppose. I guess. Alright, because there were not one, not two, but three significant announcements during Mario Day. We'll start with the non-gaming one first, which is we do have a official announcement for the Super Mario Bros. 2 movie. That's not the official title, I think. Is that what it was? I don't think it was.
No, there's no current confirmed title at the moment right now. All we just know like is the next movie of the Super Mario Bros. Movie is currently in production. It's in the early stages at the moment right now.
Correct. And as per Miyamoto, who mysteriously was able to hijack the Nintendo of America Twitter feed again, this man's power must be restrained, it will come out on April 3rd, 2026. So we're going to be waiting a while. But do remember that the success of the first one, which also released in April, if you recall, was immediately followed by the writers and actors strike. So they legally could not work on the script for the second one.
Right.
So it might have taken them a while because the writer strike ended in November. Actor strike was not long after that. So they probably just waited until everything was settled, and then they started working on the script. So it's been a few months, so that tracks.
True. So yeah, like as I said, it's gonna be until 2026. So we've got plenty of time, and here's hoping. Like, okay, on the one hand, I would like to see hear the new of Afghani as Mario, but at the same time, I can understand why people want the consistency of Chris Pratt. That even hurts me to even say it. It's just like I like consistency, but Chris Pratt consistency? I don't know.
Group consistency. Hey, if the MCU can't keep some of their characters the same in the name of consistency, looking at you, Terrence Howard, and then we don't need to have it in our gaming universe. Now, as of yet, we do not know specifically what is the next film. Let me just read the full tweet. There's two tweets. Quote, this is Miyamoto. We are now creating a new animated film based on the world of Super Mario Brothers. This film is planned on release in April 3rd, 2026 in the U.S. and other markets, and throughout the month of April in other territories. We'll let you know the details once we're ready to share more. This time, too, the staff at Illumination and Nintendo are working together. We're thinking about broadening Mario's world further, and it'll have a bright and fun story. We hope you'll look forward to it, end quote. So, they didn't say it's a direct sequel. And the line, broadening Mario's world further, has many people believing it's a spin-off, and thus it could be like, say, Luigi's Mansion, it could be a Donkey Kong movie, it could be many other things. So, but they never said specifically it's Super Mario Bros. 2 movie. Interesting. Very interesting. Clearly not to you two.
I mean, there's only so much we can go off on at the moment right now. So, like, okay, they're making the next movie. Like, okay, we just have to wait and see. Again, let them cook. Like, we were again, like, back when the first movie was announced, we were like, oh, it's going to do bad. And now we hear it. Oh, it actually looks good. Does it sound good? I mean, debatable, but still. So
it sounded good in parts.
Yes. So, here in the second movie, okay, let them cook. Here's hoping they took some criticism and, yeah, see what they come up with the next one in 2 years.
Yeah, it's going to be all about Bowser.
it's be a Bowser musical with each song being a variation of Peaches.
I wouldn't mind if they make a Bowser spinoff. I don't mind if they make a movie of that.
Also, I want to take this opportunity to call out the Oscars, because you know what you did. You did not nominate Jack Black's Peaches for Best Song, which means he did not get to perform it. And we all noted on the podcast that we wanted to see Jack Black perform because we know he would go whole hog, or in this case, whole Bowser. And I'm sure some of the Oscars went, but that'll be too cheesy. It'll be too, you know, weird and whatever. And then if you actually watch the Oscars, Ryan Gosling went full ham for I Am Ken, or sorry, I'm Just Ken, and it was dubbed one of the greatest things the Oscars ever did. So isn't this bias against animation, ladies and gentlemen, that they would let that happen, the I'm Just Ken performance, but they wouldn't allow Peaches to happen? That is profiling.
Can you imagine how great that Oscars could have been if we had Peaches and I'm Just Ken?
Yes, and for the record, I legit had never heard I'm Just Ken before the Oscars performance, and then it blew up the internet. So I started seeing multiple people posting about it. You know, I'm like, you know what? Let's give it a listen. And it was good.
Yeah.
He crushed it. But I could just see Jack Black, like, watching the performance of Ryan Gosling and go, okay, I need to top this dude. And it'd be like a competition. Like a competition in the competition to have best performance. Because remember, he did the live-action music video for Peaches, and he would have totally dressed up to do Peaches. So it would have been, you know, the musical number for Ryan Gosling versus, you know, the, what do you want to call it, method acting performance of Jack Black. Like, that would have been even more legendary, and you ruined it!
Would have had the best ham off of all time.
And you ruined it. We're never going to have this opportunity again. You monsters. Remember, it was nominated for Golden Globes.
Yep.
It was nominated for Golden Globes and was not nominated for the Oscars. You all suck. Except you, Ryan Gosling. You are Kenuff. Also, that shot of them starting off with Gosling literally singing right behind Margot Robbie and her like not realizing it was just, that was perfect.
Like, that was great.
And then if you notice, Billie Eilish was right behind Ryan Gosling and she couldn't keep it together. It was like, that's real human emotion, ladies and gentlemen. That's real human emotion. All right. Moving on to actual gaming stuff. I know it's hard, but the other big announcement, which honestly, I'm really happy about. We got the release dates for Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door Remake and Luigi's Mansion 2 HD. But the twist is that one is coming out earlier than the other. If you recall, when Luigi's Mansion 2 HD was announced, it was stated for like spring 2024. And then Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door was just slated for 2024. I think they even said summer 2024. But now the Thousand Year Door is coming out on May 23rd, and Luigi's Mansion 2 HD is coming out on June 27th. Very interesting.
Indeed.
Very interesting. So that could mean that, you know, one was easier to finish than the other, I suppose. Or maybe they thought that it would be better that Paper Mario would be the bigger earner than Luigi, and they wanted to get it out first, maybe? It's hard
possible.
To
say. Like, if anything else, like, yeah, Thousand Year Door, I think one part, I mean, again, speculation, unfortunately, but I feel like Nintendo knows that Thousand Year Door is the game that many people wanted. And yes. they want to get it out as soon as possible. If that correlates in quality, we'll just have to wait and see. But yeah, they know Thousand Year Door is the moneymaker, which they need at the moment right now at this year. And now they have planned, seeing in the comments on Twitter as well that, okay, we have a Princess Peach Showtime coming out this month, and then afterwards we'll be getting Thousand Year Door soon, and then after that, like maybe in 2 months' time, is going to be the Luigi's Mansion 2. So, like, while not the greatest of lineup, at least they are keeping something of each month a major release in a sense. They're trying to like get that same schedule release date again.
And I can appreciate that. Even if I'm not going to get all these games, like we're really close to Princess Peach Showtime, so I'm really curious about how that one's going to do. Paper Mario coming out in May is great, because that I had nothing to look forward to, and now I can. And now I have something to say, like, okay, I need to get to the end of the storyline with Baldur's Gate with Karlach so I can enjoy Paper Mario and not have to worry about leaving Karlach again. But Karlach's just great. There was also so much Baldur's Gate 3 merch at Planet Comic-Con.
Cool.
I kid you not. I can show you pictures later. There were full-on, like, machine-woven carpets of Baldur's Gate characters, including one of Karlach.
Oh, dang.
And I was so tempted to buy it, and then the Karlach one, and then put it on my ceiling so that she would be the last thing I see at night.
Okay, now who is being the otaku now?
What can I say? Well, after 8 years of doing this podcast together, your effect is finally rubbing off on me. You're welcome. Don't ever say I don't take things from my friends. I wonder what I'll get from Scott. I don't know, maybe a wife? I don't know! for the record, that carpet thing was real. It was actually incredibly beautiful. I'll show you the picture later. But I'm thrilled that we're getting Paper Mario in May. It gives me something to look forward to. And apparently, and I saw it like just before the podcast went live, pre-orders for the game are already live, and we'll talk about that in a second. But pre-order is already live, and it's already the best-selling game on Amazon.
Oh.
Just the pre-orders for Thousand Year Door. So, gee, it's almost as if gamers want this version of Paper Mario a lot.
Yes, they do.
Yep. Like, oh, I don't know how many games of Paper Mario after Super Paper Mario were like, we were yearning for a traditional Super Mario, Paper Mario RPG again. Oh, geez.
Oh, I just thought of the perfect comparison. Paper Mario Thousand Year Door is like the original Pokemon anime. And then things like Sticker Star were Pokemon Horizons. Oh! Now, I've only seen the first two episodes, so I won't give it that judgment. But it did have the Sticker Star effect where I'm hyped for this, and it's like, what am I playing? What am I watching? So,
this isn't what I was promised.
Exactly. I was hyped for Sticker Star because I was like, ooh, good, another Pokemon. Or sorry, not a Paper Mario game. Ooh, it's on a handheld. I love it. And then it was just like, I don't love it. What is this? And then I found out Miyamoto was the reason for this. I'm like, why?
No.
How did Miyamoto screw this up? But overall, very positive Mario Day. Because again, as you said last week, we didn't know what was going to be shown. Period. There were indications we could get the release dates for these games and maybe some other stuff. It was never clear. Nintendo didn't say, hey, you should tune into Mario Day because we're going to be revealing some stuff. They said nothing of the kind. They just said, hey, it's Mario Day. And they were doing like some gaming screen shots. Ahem. And that's it. So Nintendo really did shadow drop this on us, and I'm happy about it. So please do more of that. Please. More announcements just randomly instead of like making us suffer with when are you gonna announce stuff? Yeah. Also, there are some fake Nintendo Direct rumors already going around again. Just stop. Stop. Like seriously, there was one saying that was gonna come out like the first week of April. Like, not a chance. Not a chance. So don't give us hope. Don't give us hope. Alright, actually, since we're still on Mario, let's keep going with the Mario news. As I noted, Paper Mario Thousand Year Door is up for pre-order right now. And if you're in the UK, which, thank you for listening us all the way over there, there are some very special pre-order bonuses you can get. Specifically, there is one on the place called Shop 2, that's Shop T-O, and you can get a special sticker sheet of the main characters, which is awesome. And you get a paper airplane.
Ha! That's what I want.
Yes!
Oh, a limited edition stuff. A limited edition sticker sheet. Oh, or how about a limited edition pre-order paper airplane?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, look, I get it. Like, unless you're like an absolute diehard fan of Nintendo, like, and collect every single memorabilia of like Mario games. I mean, heck, the coins, the Super Mario Galaxy coins, I'll forever cherish. Like, but a paper plane, huh?
Yeah. For those of you who don't get the joke here, in Paper Mario: Thousand Year Door, Mario gets special paper folding abilities where he can shapeshift himself into certain paper items to help him traverse the world, one of which is a paper airplane. And this, I saw the picture of it. It is an actual one where Mario, you see Mario's image and you fold it to resemble the plane in the game. So it's a reference, but yeah, your pre-order bonus is a paper airplane.
Have fun.
Yeah. So what would this be like, 12 inches of Mario airplane? If we're
how
lucky.
Well does it fly?
Yeah, how well does it fly? It's like, will it fold under the pressure? Like, you know, will it fall like a house of cards? So yeah, this is I couldn't believe it, and then I saw the picture. I'm like, no, I can believe it, and I wouldn't be surprised if this sold out because there will be Nintendo fans go like, oh, this is awesome. You know, we could get a Paper Mario paper airplane. I'm like, you could do that yourself for basically no cost. You don't even need the game.
Yes. There's paper all over the place.
Yeah, and they just print out Mario on it and then fold him up into paper airplane. Boom, done.
Yes, like, I don't know, just like wait for somebody to like upload the PDF file on the internet, get it printed out, and make your own paper airplane. You don't need it as a pre-order bonus. Like, what kind of bonus is that? Like, okay, maybe a pen. I don't know, something physical. I don't need something that's literally like a paper size thing to, as a pre-order bonus. Like, I don't know, a hat or I don't know, shirt, something like that. Remember when we had physical goods, that legitimate physical goods as pre-order bonuses, or heck, the basic things, an art book. But no, a paper airplane.
Wouldn't mind keychains.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's a basic little basic keychains, acrylic keychains, whatever it may be. Acrylics is the most cheapest thing you can do, and that's like the basic thing. No, paper airplane.
Hold on. I can comment on that and say that there was another UK store that was offering a keychain.
Good. Okay, at least the basics. That's the basics. That's downright basics.
Yeah. So, yeah. But if you're looking for true next level pre-order bonuses, screwed 19 inches of Sephiroth, you can get a Paper Mario paper airplane. What a world we live in.
Ha.
Here's what I want. I want someone to buy it. Okay, listeners out there, here's what I want you to do. I want one of you to buy it or get someone in the UK you know to buy it. I'm sure you know someone there. And once they get the paper airplane, have them make like a YouTube video about it. Because I want to see every element of this paper airplane, all right? Like, I want to see, like, how big it is. Do they actually show you how to fold it so that it can resemble the paper airplane and whatever? How well does it actually fly? You know, these are the details I need to know. So, make it happen, everybody. This you have your mission. Do it.
And we need to test it from normal paper airplanes.
Yes. We need scientific analysis. Let's bring in, you know, Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know, let's get go whole 9 yards here and make like a YouTube spectacle of it. I can okay, the Paper Mario Paper Airplane showdown. There you go. I could smell the YouTube money.
Good.
Yes. All right. Continuing on with this, and not so ironically, we also have Luigi's Mansion news to talk about, or more specifically, Luigi's Mansion rumors.
No.
Yeah, because it can't be a podcast week without talking about a Nintendo Switch successor rumor, and this time around, it's about Luigi's Mansion 4. So, according to Zippo, he's back, and he says that not only is Next Level Games working on the next Luigi's Mansion title, he says it will easily be the most expensive and biggest game the studio has ever made, and it's going to have mind-blowing visuals while being twice the size of the previous games.
Hmm. Uh-huh. Okay.
Now, just to recap, the third game, which I loved, how many of us here played Luigi's Mansion 3?
I have not.
I have not played 3 either.
Okay, I think it must have been Tyler then. I played it, and I reviewed it, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really fun game, and I liked how they did the hotel aesthetic and whatever. The mechanics were really good. I didn't really do the online, but that was fine. It was really, really fun. And so if they're going to try to up the ante with 4, I remember us doing a podcast episode, like what they could do for the next one, but that's another topic entirely. And so if they're going to try and top it, I think it would be a lot of fun. According to Zippo, it goes, the game is sounding incredibly ambitious, and this is easily the biggest and most expensive game Excel has ever made. Expect absolutely mind-blowing visuals, animation, and the game is twice the size of Luigi's Mansion 3.
Okay.
Oh, wait, he went bolder. Listen to this. Did you think Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart looked good? This blows them out of the water. That's a guarantee. End quote.
What?
Wow. Zippo, stop while you're behind. And trust me, buddy, you're far behind. Like, I'm still waiting on half of his predictions to come true. Thank you very much. Where's my Genealogy of the Holy War remake, Zippo? You've only been saying that for years. Don't give me hope. But yeah, comparing it to Ratchet and Clank Ripped Apart, that's a PS5 title. This, we don't even know what the Switch 2 is going to look like or act like. Yeah.
It's, yeah, like all these, like, how many times have we got to hear? I mean, we're going to hear more, unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately.
Like, we're going to hear more, like, oh, it's going to be better more than PS5. It's going to do it this, like. Oh, for Pete's sake, look, the speculation is not doing anybody favors. It's not doing anybody favors. Just like, shut up. Wait. Let them cook. When they're ready, they're ready. That's pretty much it. Just let them let them say something when they're ready. That's really it. Like, put it on the back burner when they're ready to announce it. Like, they'll let us know about it. But at the moment right now, do something else. Like, I don't know, walk, go, take a walk, something else. do something like important that help improve upon your own life than doing speculations on these Switch 2 rumors, because it's not doing anybody favors.
Yeah, like Scott was trying to say, touch the grass, don't smoke the grass, it might be illegal in your state. But, anybody? No? Okay.
And even if it isn't.
Yeah. I mean,
I still would recommend it.
How bold are you, Zippo? Are you afraid to go against the law? But, grass aside, this is, look, like Will said, just let them cook. I mean, we've been talking for several weeks now about the release schedule for Nintendo 2024 and how it's not the best, and I still believe that, I really do, but if Nintendo does have something cooking, I'm going to let them cook and wait for them to be ready. Like, I want Metroid Prime 4 to come out, but I don't want it to be coming out in a terrible state. I don't want it to be coming out in a state where it's like, oh, you could have just waited and put this on Switch 2 and then that would have been a launch title. I'll wait. I just want to at least know. And hearing all these rumors from Zippo and all these other people saying, oh, you know, this is going to happen, and then like months pass, directs come and go and nothing happens, it's annoying because it's just rumors. And then eventually they will get something right. And they're like, see, I was right about this one, so here's all these other rumors. Now, do I think they're making Luigi's Mansion 4? Yes, I do. because 3 sold incredibly on the Switch.
Yes, it did.
It was well reviewed. I think it was nominated for some awards, and at least at the Game Awards, because Nintendo, it would probably got a, like, family-friendly game.
As you say, it probably got the family game nomination.
Like, Luigi's Mansion 3 for family-friendly game. Wasn't that about ghosts abducting people? Yeah, it's family-friendly. Shut up. So.
Yeah, but Luigi's in it.
What? Exactly. But isn't he a coward? Oh, he's not that bad. Yes, he is. No. I mean, where's the lie, folks? Just saying. But I think they are making Luigi's Mansion 4. It makes sense. And it could be a nice game to fill in, like, the early years of the Switch 2 whenever it comes out. And if the next graphical upgrade for the Nintendo consoles goes well, awesome. Go for it. But don't compare it to PS5 titles. That's not fair. And especially since those ones are meant to eke out every single graphical detail, and we know that Nintendo doesn't value that as much as having good graphics with great gameplay all in a balanced package, 9 times out of 10.
Yes.
We can all think of ones. You know, we the ones, yo. And the ones suck. Well, not suck. I mean, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet wasn't bad. It was just buggy as heck.
Yes.
And, you know, glitches galore. But it was still a great game. So, I saw someone say, please say something nice about Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. I'm like, I can say plenty of things good about it. It's just that it was one of the most unrefined Pokemon games in existence. So
it could do with a little polish.
Just a little. You know, an extra day. That's all you need, right?
Clearly.
Yeah, a whole region. You could fix that in a day. So, and since Scott wants to talk about unpolished titles that need clearly an extra day or two, let's talk about the Battlefront collection. Now, we were talking about this on our Discord the other day because a certain someone, Scott, got a review code. And I was reminiscing about my times with my cousin on in Battlefront. He had the PS2. He had both the copies. I think I had one at home. I can't remember which one. And we would play it for hours. Hours! You know, switching sides, doing the campaign, just going up against each other, seeing who could win. It was glorious. I won't even claim that I won a lot of the time. I don't remember.
It's not about the winning or the losing.
Well, that and just we honestly played it so dang much.
I mean,
it was awesome. I mean, he was into it. I was into it. These were great games. The PS2 titles were legendary and put the EA DICE pieces of crap to shame. And we didn't need no crappy microtransactions or pay-to-win mechanics. You know
we didn't need those loot boxes.
Dang right. You know what we needed? Good gameplay and meaningful gameplay. I want to do a rant again, but I don't want to start coughing, so I'm not. But you might be thinking, well, wait a minute, Todd, why were you calling this unpolished if you loved those games? Because if you recall, they were making what are we just going to call it? It's just a collection? It's not a remaster.
Yeah,
it's just a collection.
Kind of a remaster. They did upscale the graphics,
okay.
And they did add a lot of the DLC from the different consoles. This is during the time when, like, the PS2 and, like, the Xbox were fighting over different DLCs. So they had different ones, like, attached to the game.
Oh, yeah.
The Classic Collection combines all of them into one collection. So we have all the... I guess they're not really DLC. They're, like, versions.
Gotcha.
Content that different versions.
Gotcha.
They constantly fight with it. And basically, the Classic Collection wanted to merge all those stuff put together and then upscaled the graphics so that you could actually have, like, 4K gameplay if you wanted.
Yeah. Hint, it didn't work. Because...
It's rough.
It's rough. I literally saw a clip of gameplay, and you can see the graphics glitch out. Now, when I say the graphics glitch out, I don't mean like Pokemon where you can like glitch through the floor and you can see like the underworld and all that stuff. I'm talking like the textures don't render.
Yeah.
So on like the snowy planet of Hoth, you're seeing like bright purples and yellows and green bars from the code that's not loading properly. And it's everywhere. Now, on the one hand, I think it makes Hoth look beautiful because I'm not having to look at a white planet all over the place. It's got, you know, it's got like a little touch of purple. It's got some
rainbow.
Yeah, it's like rainbow sherbet. Okay. And who doesn't love rainbow sherbet? I don't know why I'm doing this voice, but it works in this context. So, but yeah. And then on PC where it's getting like railroaded, it's getting absolutely ran over.
Yeah.
It's got mostly negative reviews. They only set up 3 servers for gameplay. They had they had over 10,000 people trying to play it all at once, and the servers couldn't handle it. Huh. It's almost as if they rushed this port out without realizing just how many people love these games more than the modern remakes or interpretations, and that we wanted to go back into this nostalgic experience to relive the days of our youth. Dang, I sound old. And they just threw it out there to make some cheap cash, but surely they wouldn't do that, Scott.
Surely.
Surely. Surely the Force is strong with these people. They wouldn't make such dark side decisions. Hint, they did. Yeah. And you know what? I was honestly wanting to get this. I don't know if I would have gotten on Switch or PC or whatever, but I wanted to play this. I really did.
It honestly had it was a good pitch, and just now,
And it's a good concept to put all the stuff that Battlefront had in all the different versions into one big collection.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, they're gentlemen. They are young. Okay, let me go Obi-Wan on this. gentlemen, there are young Padawans out there who don't know the glory of the original Battlefront. I remember playing it with my cousins back during the original Clone Wars. He was a good man and friend. And then he died. No, not really. He's alive. But could you imagine? But like, there are people who don't realize how great these games were. And now they're come out and they're like, this is it. We can experience them in all their glory. And they just go, nope. We're not doing that. That's not fair. That's not fair to us. That's not fair to the original dev team. That's not fair to, you know, everyone who had a memory about this title or these titles, and everyone who really, really hated what EA and DICE did to the games. And I heard someone say, oh, they got better eventually. These games were good at release.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
Like, this was PS2. So yeah, this was before the era of, hey, let's do online patches. No, these games were good at launch.
Yes.
Period. All right, hear the anger in my voice. I'm going dark side now. All right, these games were good at launch. They had great campaign at launch. It had great multiplayer at launch. I love these games. My cousin loved these games. I loved playing it with him. I had other friends, and they came over, and we would play Battlefront together because these were great games. I shared a memory with Scott. He goes, oh, I forgot about that. I need to go replay it now so I can enjoy that. And now I don't think you should, because he's going to hear the worst possible version, or he'll like really good cutscenes, and then the gameplay sucks. It's like, yeah, it must have been better when Todd played it on PS5. You dang right.
Probably was.
It was. I guarantee you it was, because it wasn't that buggy mess.
Yeah.
It's just, and this is not, I know this is not a Nintendo issue, but it is coming out on the Switch, and they talked about it during the partner showcase and blah, blah, blah. But this just really ticks me off, because for every like true remaster we get, like whatever we want to call the Paper Mario Thousand Year Door one, or a Final Fantasy VII remake, the ones that they're taking the care to do properly, to do right, and so on and so forth, then we get something like this. They just throw it together and they just shove it out without much care, and they go, oh, people will buy this, it'll be fine. No, it won't be fine, because you're not taking care of it. You're not treating us with the respect that we deserve, nor the game with the respect that it deserves. It's infuriating. And people wonder what's wrong with the gaming industry. It's a 4-part process, ladies and gentlemen. Lack of originality, which is a thing in Hollywood as well. All right. The Embracer Group.
Yeah.
Terrible, rushed out ports, remakes, and I'll just say games in general, rushed out stuff, and then Geoff Keighley. Notice, I didn't put Phil Spencer on the list. He is a symptom. He is not a problem. See, I can be nice, Phil, sometimes. Yeah. Now, he can become a problem later on if he keeps talking smack about Nintendo, but I think he's wise enough to my hatred of him, so but I don't hate him as much as I hate Geoff Keighley. So, and hey, there's more layoffs announced in the last week or so. So, Geoff, I'm waiting. I'm counting down the days, Geoff. I can't wait for you to say it's been a great gaming year, 2024. No, it hasn't. No one has a job.
Acknowledge reality.
Yeah. Stop living in the Matrix. So, I'm being sincere on this one. Screwjob Keeley. No. For all of you Battlefront players, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that you got your hopes up and they ruined this. I would be right there with you. Trust me, if I had bought this game and it broke on the PC or Switch or whatever, I would be ranting because this game meant so much to me growing up. Like, the first two games were great. It helped reinforce my love of the prequels, as weird as that sounds. And I like the prequels. I always have. But yes, I'm a heathen. Deal with it. Got laugh. Thank you. I need support, man. I need support here. But I'm sorry. I'm so sorry they did this to you. And hopefully this gets fixed so you can enjoy it like you did in the past. I just don't know when it'll be. And I'm really, really sorry about that. I know I'm not the one that should be apologizing, but I am making the effort. Okay. You deserve an apology. And if it has to come from this podcast host, I will take that hit because you deserve better. This game deserves better, but you deserve better.
You, the paying customers.
Yeah, literally. You'd think they would want to do right by their customers, but I guess that's a foregone concept. It's like human beings behaving humanly. Brilliant. Yeah, apparently not. All right, and finally, there was a deluge of Pokemon news recently, mainly because of the release of Pokemon Horizons, which, again, is on Netflix right now if you want to see if my analysis is correct or not. But of the things they revealed was the concept of course, is Ash coming back? Yeah, we're still talking about this. Yes, Ash's journey is over, but is it, though? Well, yes. According to Taito Okoria and Andy Gosar, either way, they said, quote, "We've said farewell. Ash is still in the world. Anything is possible, I suppose. In the world of Pokemon, there's so many possibilities," end quote. And then the other guy said, "We hope Ash and Pikachu continue in their journey. Their journey is ongoing somewhere in the Pokemon world. It's totally up to our fans' imaginations. For the time being, we would love to focus on the new story of Liko and Roy. Horizons invites a new beginning," end quote. I like that, actually. I like that it's totally up to our fans' imagination, because I can imagine a better ending for Ash!
Yes, please.
Yes. They could have ended up with a little... Like, there's so much more better ways to... Yeah, like, and that last episode with Ash Ketchum, like, there's so much more could have been done. Again, it's the last thing, and that ending, like, yeah, okay. Like, it was such a... Yeah, it just felt flat.
It did.
So there was definitely so much more you could have done. I mean, let fan fiction material had better ideas than this.
I've seen it.
Because when I was hearing that statement, like... Okay, Ash is still in the Pokemon world. He's still somewhere out there in the universe of Pokemon, of course. Like, because I was thinking in a comparison of like Yu-Gi-Oh, like when the original protagonist Yami Yugi went away. He technically passed on into the afterlife, but you apparently do see him again in like the second season of 6-0 or like 5D. Man, what was the second season?
GX.
The second generation.
GX. And he showed up in the premiere because he gave Jaden Queen Karina.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that was it. So, yeah, at least, like, I don't know, do something like that in comparison. Like, have, like, you don't need to even show Ash's face. Like, oh, have, like, the new, either be with, dang it, who is the original voice of Ash again? Sorry. Veronica Taylor. Yeah, Veronica Taylor. Have Veronica Taylor just like give a voice cameo at least. I don't know, as a phone call, something of that sort. Like, just something of that, like just ping through. Like, yeah, Ash is there. He was there for that one moment. That's it. And I'd be happy. But yeah, is that. I mean, fine. If that's what they want to do, fine. But at least do something much more tribute to give for Ash Ketchum, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm not even saying that they should have done the whole like Ash gets back with Serena and all that. You know, that's where fan fiction material gets in it. Trust me, I've seen the art. Seriously, like I've seen it on Twitter, and like some people actually did like an animated scene of Ash proposing to Serena. I thought it was actually rather lovely, but Ash deserved to go out better than that. And now with how I've met Liko, and I haven't even met Roy, so who knows how he acts? But I'm worried. And so when they're saying like, "Oh, it's advanced imaginations," I'm like, "Oh, trust us, we can write really good stories." I would know. I'm a fan and a writer. So again, it's possible, and it just depends on how far they take this new horizon, pun intended. They've said in another statement that they could take this on for many seasons, which I believe. It just depends on how they do it. So we'll just have to see. But I understand them wanting to give the space, because Ash has had 25 years, all right? And he's still somehow 10. Somehow, Palpatine's return. So yeah, we'll just have to see how that goes. Another thing that they talked about was the Pokemon Company has created a new team, like literally. It's called Pokemon Works, which clearly means that they're gonna copy Pal World now and just put Pokemon in like a factory and do slave labor. And you know, no, I'm joking. That was a really good one. Come on, give me a laugh there, Scott. Come on, that was a great Pal World joke. Hey, notice how, even though the fans are crying foul on the copyright, the Pokemon Company never really bit.
Nope.
Even though it really was in a lot of ways. Like I saw the Honest trailer for it, and they showed all the Pokemon or the Pals designs, and even the Honest trailer is like, dude, that's just a ripoff of this, and that's a ripoff of that. And I'm like, you're not wrong. So yeah, but the Pokemon Company set up something called Pokemon Works, and apparently, this is going to be in the same building that worked with ICLA. What's ICLA? They were the team that did the Gen 4 remakes.
Yes.
So the theory, though not confirmed, is that this would help the Pokemon team and Game Freak have another squad so they could work on like one Pokemon title while the main team works on like the Legends franchise or Gen 10. Which we all know is in the works, let's be honest here.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, record sales will definitely get you another entry in the saga. Just a thought. But this would help with their, you know, give them enough teams for the spinoffs and the main series so that we won't have the quality gaps that we got in Gen 9. So, if that's the case, awesome.
Be careful of windmills in Gen 10.
Yeah, they stutter.
Yes, they do.
A lot. Yeah. So again, we'll have to just sit back and relax on this one. But hey, if they need to expand their ranks to ensure that all their games are quality, do it. Do it. Like, no, you've had your mulligan. No more. And let's be honest, you should be grateful we gave you that mulligan in the first place.
Yep.
You set the standard. You said, like, hey, we're up here. We don't do down here. And then you went down there and were like, guys, get back up there.
Yep. How about make another Pokemon Colosseum?
I wouldn't mind that, actually. I wonder. Well, we can't do it next week because of the Splatfest. But I would like to touch on that. I would like to touch on that in a future week. Could something like a Pokemon Colosseum game function nowadays?
I mean, everyone.
No, don't.
Because
I have reasons for this, and actually ties back into one of the Wii titles, believe it or not. But we'll say that because I think it's a far more interesting question now because of what we've had recently to ask the question: isn't enough to just have a battle game or a slightly narrative experience? We'll talk about it in a few weeks or so. But for now, we have our main event. This one was recommended to us by our boss, Koopa Keith, because of the recent Hall of Fame entries for the Video Game Hall of Fame. Now, there were some interesting picks in this year's roster, including, I kid you not, Guitar Hero World Tour for the Wii.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Not sure why. Also, you don't know Jack the Ride. Mysteries of Life, ladies and gentlemen. Also on it was Myst, SimCity, the original Metroid, the original Ultima, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Neopets, the original, Asteroids, the original Resident Evil, and a Japanese game I can't read. I apologize, Will. And something called Elite. Okay. But Keith posed to us, what were our first games on various gaming platforms? So let's answer this as we once again enter the Temple of Time. Alright, so for the record, we're sticking with Nintendo consoles and handhelds. Now, we don't have to go through every single one, but we do need to cite the ones that we remember getting first or buying with the console so that we had something to play first. So I'll start, and I'll try to do this quickly. My first video game ever was on the original Game Boy, and it was Wario Blast. And I remember that because it was really unique cover art, and I got to play as Bomberman. And that was really cool. Like, and that was before I knew Bomberman was a big thing, but he was. So it was simple, it was elegant, it was awesome. Now, when I got my SNES, we bought that for my babysitter. So we had a whole bunch of games in it. We had, like, Super Mario All-Stars, we had Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, we had Super Mario World, a whole bunch of titles there. N64, I had Pokemon Stadium. Pokemon Stadium 2, Pokemon Puzzle League, and Madden 97.
Hmm.
Random? Yes. Awesome? Also. Yeah. Game Boy Color. This one I will always remember. I got Star Wars Pod Racer for the Game Boy Color. Why do I remember that? Because the person who bought it for me didn't realize I didn't have a Game Boy Color. So I literally put it into my Game Boy, and it said, can only be played on a Game Boy Color. So I had the game for, like, months before I had the Game Boy Color. And that led to my birthday, when I got the Game Boy Color and Pokemon Silver. So that was a nice little pick-me-up. I don't remember the Game Boy Advance, so I'll skip that. GameCube was Luigi's Mansion. That was my first console I ever bought by myself. And they had Luigi's Mansion combo for like $150 or something like that. No, it was $250. It was $250. And I was like, I could totally buy this. I saved up my money. I bought it myself. The Wii was Twilight Princess. And I had to wait. That was not, I got it on the launch day. I got it in January, like 2 months after. But I bought the game in November because there was a sale on it on Target. It was for $37.50, and that was $12 of savings. So you dang right, I bought the game, and I just stared at it. They stared at it, waiting to play it on the Wii. Great, good times. Let's see, DS. What was that? That one's hard. I don't remember. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure I bought that one myself. I think. The DS had so many good games, though. I couldn't even tell you what launched on it. So, no, I don't remember that one. Can't remember the 3DS either. I remember having the Star Fox 64 3D.
Yeah, Star Fox Commando, like the DS games, right?
Commando's on DS, but yeah. Dang, I don't remember what I got for 3DS either. See, that's the thing. Like, when you don't think of, like, the immediate launch titles, like the ones you remember buying it for, you can't remember. And then, of course, for the Wii U, I got Nintendo Land, and that was kind of it. Cause that was like, it was a very soft launch for the Wii U.
Yeah.
But then for the Switch, it was some title called Breath of the Wild. I don't remember. So very interesting lineup choices. So, and then I look forward to the Switch 2 with whatever it gets. But, you know, it's just fascinating what you remember, because you'd think, you remember all the games that you've gotten. Like, no, I don't. I don't remember for GBA. I don't remember for DS. I don't remember for 3DS. And I loved all three of those handhelds. I can tell you games I've gotten out of those three systems, but not, like, ones I bought them for necessarily, because maybe I didn't buy them for myself. I really don't remember at times. So, but yeah, it's fun looking back on those ones. Like, oh yeah, I remember getting this game or getting this one on sale and playing Breath of the Wild and all that stuff, because you know your first games on your systems really help set the tone, you know. So, good times. All right, Will, how about you? What were your first games on Nintendo systems?
Like the first one for me when I was like a wee lad is definitely the Game Boy, and I remember Super Mario 2 and the 6 coins, as you said before the podcast. Yeah, like I remember one, like just platforming with Wario. My brother loves playing with that game, and then moving onward from that, like I remember the Game Boy Pocket. Yeah, like the Game Boy Pocket during that age, and I think I did. That was the time when I actually bought Pokemon Red and Blue for me and my brother. We bought our own individual versions, and I think it was also pretty much during that same era when the Game Boy Color came out. And that, like, I think the only first game that I actually bought per se, aside from Pokemon Red and Blue, was I think it was indeed Pokemon Pinball, because I know there was like doing a big promotion back in like the early like late 90s or something of that sort. So yeah, Pokemon Pin was definitely a game that I was like very heavily into when I had my original Game Boy Color. And after that, it was pretty much, I unfortunately missed the entire handheld scene. So I didn't have like the DS or 3DS. Like that was mostly on my other family side of things. So I didn't have that much. But on the home console side, for instance, like I still remember like the original Nintendo Entertainment System NES. Now, of course, naturally you gotta have Mario and Duck Hunt. I mean, Duck Hunt is classic. You gotta have those two. And then the Super Nintendo, of course, naturally Super Mario World was definitely the one that everyone got, including myself. I'm not sure it was. I think it was bundled with it. I'm not sure. I know there was like a bundle with the Super Nintendo. So perhaps it was that. That was the thing that's why I remember it so fondly of. And then, of course, naturally, Nintendo 64. Surprisingly enough, it wasn't Super Mario 64 that was my first game that I got. It was actually Mario Party 64. That was, like, the first game I got for Nintendo 64. I didn't manage to get that the other things until much later. Like, 64, I try to get it as much as I can. And then, of course, naturally moving on to the GameCube era, like, I still remember when it first came out, the only way I could get it was, like, in another game store, and unfortunately it was in bundle. I had to buy 3 games with it, with a memory card. It was, like, $300 or something like that. So it came with Mario Melee, yeah, Super Mario Melee, Pikmin 1, and the Tarzan Untamed game, like, a Disney game that I got. So those were the...
Did you mean Super Smash Brothers Melee?
Yeah, Super Smash Brothers Melee. Sorry,
Super Mario Melee. Like Mario just like back down and everything. Like, got to come to me, Bowser. Okay, then let's melee.
Yeah, and thinking about, I'm sure I'm also like, yeah. Now saying Super Smash Brothers Melee, like I'm thinking like in 64. I'm not sure if I actually got a Smash Bros. Smash Bros. 64 during that era as well. So I think it's either I'd be Mario Party 1 or Smash Bros. I think that was either one of the first games I got for that system. But continuing on, GameCube, Super Smash Bros. And then afterwards, the Wii. Of course, naturally, everyone getting Wii Sports. I mean, that thing came bundled. Of course, that technically is the first game. But the first game I actually bought was, of course, naturally, a Twilight Princess. So, I mean, again, it's Twilight Princess, the first game for thing. And the transition from the GameCube to the Wii. So, yeah, Twilight Princess, definitely great for my first game on the Wii. Then, of course, Wii U, Nintendo Land, and... I'm trying to remember what I actually bought on the Wii U. I think it was... dang it. I'm actually drawing a blank here. I don't remember what I actually got as my first game for the Wii U. Aside from, I don't know, maybe Smash Brothers. I can't remember what was first came out. I apologize. So I'd be Wii Fit or something like that. I am something along those lines. I can't actually remember the first Wii U game I actually got. And of course, naturally, Switch is of course, Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, yeah, Breath of the Wild, and everything else in between. Yeah, Breath of the Wild was pretty much the first game of it that came on Switch. So yeah, and. All those games aside, yeah, Nintendo, I was more or less a Nintendo home console kind of guy, and the handheld, I was kind of, didn't join until much later. So, yeah, like, yeah, as I said, Todd, like, you try to remember, like, the first games, like, yeah, like, for me, the Wii U, I really couldn't remember much aside from Nintendo that was bundled in. So, yeah, kind of strange when you think about it now. Yeah.
All right, Scott.
All righty. I'm going to go in, I don't know what kind of order this is. I just was looking and writing as much as I can remember. But So the first game that I remember getting for the Nintendo Entertainment System was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, the OG.
Oh, good. Nice.
Which, by the way, is still a very hard game to try to play, especially with their water levels. It was terrible. The first game that I got on the Game Boy was Pokemon Blue, because my brother got Pokemon Red. For the Game Boy Color was technically a Game Boy game, but because I bought it for the Game Boy Color, it was Pokemon Gold.
Oh,
basically the Game Boy was just my Pokemon thing for like ever.
Yeah, I think that was pretty much for everybody for the most part. Yeah.
Nintendo 64, pretty easy. Mario 64.
Of course,
that was the standard, first game for that one. Standard. This is where things don't go as standard, but the Game Boy Advance, the first game I got was Dragon Ball Z Legacy of Goku.
Oh, yeah.
I remember looking at it and just being like, I need this game, but I didn't have a Game Boy Advance at the time. So my parents eventually got me a Game Boy Advance, and they got me Dragon Ball Z Legacy of Goku. I was just super happy.
rest in peace, Toriyama.
Yeah, rest in peace.
That news broke right where we were doing the podcast. I literally stopped the podcast to talk about it. I'm like, no! So yeah, rest in peace, good sir.
Yes, it was not the best weekend for me, but... Okay, so the GameCube, the first game I got was Super Smash Bros. Melee. For Nintendo DS, I got the DS a lot later than I probably should have, but the first game I got for it was Pokemon Black.
Okay.
The Wii, okay. I mean, of course, everybody got Wii Sports. The first game was Twilight Princess I bought on there. And then after that was Brawl. I didn't really actually have a lot of games on Wii, now that I think about it. I just played the same games a lot.
which is not a bad problem to have. No. That there are quality games you would play repeatedly. You know, because they were good at launch.
Yeah. So my first game for the Wii, this is also a system that I got farther down in the line, but it might have actually been pretty early when it came on the Wii U, but it was Hyrule Warriors.
So
much freaking time into that game.
Yeah. Like, I love Age of Calamity, but, you know, I liked Warriors. It's just that they went in directions that I wasn't prepared for this franchise, specifically the, you know, I'm trying to kill you, but I actually love you, said the very much waifu-designed people character. Like, okay? Like, that was weird.
Yeah.
Like, we all know Link's a player. Remember this. Link is canonically a player. He's had plenty of love interests over the years in his many forms. But this was just weird.
Yeah. Like, the story was all over the place, but there was so much you could do in Hyrule Warriors, like, especially when you got unlocked the adventure mode maps.
Yeah. Heck, you got to do some story modes at story missions as Ganon.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yes, it was. Alrighty, so continuing, the Nintendo 3DS was next, and my first game on that was Dragon Ball Fusions.
I'm seeing a pattern here, Scott.
I get handhelds for either Pokemon or Dragon Ball. There's no in-between.
You like what you like, man. You like what you like.
Yes. And Nintendo Switch, I feel like this was pretty much like everybody and their dog who got the Nintendo Switch, but Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild was my first game I bought.
naturally.
But what you bring up is an interesting point, Scott, that I think speaks to all of us. It's that when you think about the games that we got first, the instinct is to say, like, oh, I got this game because that's what it was launched with, like Breath of the Wild. But then by your own statement and by my own accounts, we didn't always get the consoles or the handhelds at launch.
Nope.
Like, I didn't, like I said, the GameCube was the first system that I bought on my own. But I got it years later. I think it was like 2003 or 4. So that was a couple of years after the titles came out, and so that's why I got Luigi's Mansion, I think, it was because that was just the thing they bundled it with.
Yep.
And then I know I didn't get the DS when it launched, because I got the more slimmed-down version Remember when they did the design remake?
Yep.
So that's the one I got. So that was like a year or so after the launch. So thus I wasn't getting the launch title. I'm pretty sure I didn't get the 3DS at launch, or if I did, I don't remember that.
I didn't. I know that.
Yeah. The Wii, I obviously didn't get at launch because of
the Wii.
Well, because it was the Wii. But
nobody got that thing at launch unless you got like the golden ticket.
Yeah. I got a golden ticket. But was it for that Willy Wonka Fest though? Oh, that was just sad what happened to them. But but I got the game because I knew I would get the system eventually. So that was a different circumstance. So I actually did get that before Wii Sports because I'm special and cheap. But you know, it really just depends on when. Or going back to my N64 one, I didn't get that at launch. I got mine like. Actually, well into the end year or so of the system. That's why I got the bundle with Pokemon Stadium 2 and the other games, because that's just what my mom bought at the time.
Yep.
Right? That was well before I was like, oh yeah, I have to get, you know, Super Mario. I never had Super Mario 64. I didn't have any of the Mario Party titles on N64. I didn't have Smash Brothers. I always went to my friend's house to play because he had them.
Yep.
I only had certain games because my parents were buying me all my games at the time. They obviously couldn't shell out, you know, 50 some odd bucks a game for me. I had to wait. I had to earn it. That's why I have a lot of fond memories of Pokemon Puzzle League, because I could play that game quite a bit. So it really just depends on who you were, what your financial status was, when you were able to get these systems, and then what games you felt you wanted to play first. So that's just the way it is.
That is indeed how it is.
And if we went to the other systems, which we might do one day, I'm sure we'll have fascinating stories for those too. I've got interesting ones for the PlayStation ones. That's for sure. That's for sure. It shows my fandoms really well, Scott.
I'm sure it does.
Hint, one of them was Lord of the Rings. And I played the game poorly because I didn't know what I was doing. But with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. What were your first games on the various Nintendo systems, whether it be the handhelds or the consoles? Do let us know. Also, what did you think of the Mario Day results? Results, it sounds like lottery numbers. Revelations, let's go with that. we forgot to mention Unicorn Overlord. That game sold really well. I will talk eventually, correctly, in order. Did you get Unicorn Overlord, and how have you enjoyed it so far? Have you watched Pokemon Horizons, and have you enjoyed it more than I have? Please say yes. I want to have hope for the future. What would you like from Luigi's Mansion 4, and has our podcast saved you from buying the Battlefront collection? If so, you're welcome. Either way, let us know in the comments below. So, for Skullkit, Scott, and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not allies. We made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.